have new ones now, and these old ones, if you don't want to take some home to use in Bible time, family Bible time, or whatever, then we're going to throw them away. So feel free to take some home and use them. However, I think you'd enjoy having them home for Bible time, but otherwise, if they're not gone tonight, they'll be thrown away, and Sunday we'll have new ones, thank the Lord. Turn to John chapter 13, if you would. I'm going to share some thoughts. John chapter 13. Now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Foot washing and communion have a very close relationship. Foot washing was the work of a servant. In 1 Samuel 25:41, when David sent to Abigail to take her to be his wife, it says, And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, Behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. If you look over in 2 Timothy, where it's talking about the qualifications for a widow who's to be taken into the number and supported and so forth, maybe be in the order of widows, it says, if she have washed the saints' feet. In other words, she has had a humble servant spirit. And when anyone came into her home to visit, they've been out walking probably barefoot or with sandals along a dusty, dirty road. One of the things they did as a matter of courtesy, of hospitality, kindness, to refresh their guests, the servant or the wife would get a bowl and she'd go and wash the guest's feet, and that was part of their hospitality. Jesus, knowing that he's their Lord, knowing that this very night one of them is going to betray him, knowing that this very night is going to begin his sacrifice, suffering to pay for their sins, that they will all forsake him and flee, he sets an example for them of washing their feet. And I'm going to ask tonight, knowing that we were having a foot washing service, did you come to wash or to be washed? Did you come to bless or to be blessed? Did you come to serve or to be served? When people come to a new church, these are good questions to ask. Did you come to Living Faith Christian Fellowship to serve God or to be served by others? Did you come to Living Faith Christian Fellowship to build Jesus' church or to find friends, fun, and fellowship? Baby Christians or new families usually begin by getting more washing than they give. Sometimes they expect it and ask for it and don't appreciate it like they should. It is much better when it is given, not expected, and greatly appreciated. But as they get settled and grounded, they should strive to do more washing and receive less. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And we ought to be looking for opportunities to wash one another's feet, not only spiritually washing one another with the Word, which is a part of this type, but also serving one another, helping one another. And just because you have become a mature member and you do more washing than you receive, doesn't mean the honeymoon is over. Doesn't mean you're less loved. It means you have changed from a new recruit to a soldier, a recruiter. You have been harvested to become a harvester of others. You've been caught by Christ to become a fisher of men. Jesus, in Matthew 20:28, he says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus had a purpose. He had a commitment. He had a commitment to his Father. He had a commitment to his disciples. He had a commitment to mankind. He was going to accomplish a work and make a contribution that no one else could make. He was going to make a contribution that would be the key to the salvation of all who would repent and believe. That whosoever will could come. He came committed to accomplish that goal. When the going got tough, he didn't start second-guessing his commitment and think, well, maybe I should do something different. He had a goal. He had a commitment. He had a purpose. I said communion and foot washing are very closely related. Communion is holding one another accountable to rightly discern the body of Christ in the light of Christ's broken body and shed blood for our cleansing. Foot washing pictures Christ's continuing ministry to keep us clean through His shed blood, and pictures our work to keep one another clean and showing the love of Christ that He has shown to us. 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. It is the daily cleansing work of Christ that we see here. Jesus said, he that is washed needeth not save but to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. But then he also told Peter, if I wash thee not, this is the daily washing, the foot washing that has no part with me. Jesus was teaching something here more and deeper than just serving one another. That was a part of it. But what he was teaching here, he was showing that after you have the initial washing of regeneration, there is a daily and continual washing that Jesus does for you, or you will have no part with Him. He is our high priest. He's ministering in the tabernacle of heaven. He is there as an ever-living priest that He might save us to the uttermost that come, continue to come unto Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for us. So if we continue to come unto God through our high priest, He is there ever interceding to make intercession for us. He's not interceding for the unrepentant. He's not interceding for those who aren't coming. He's interceding. him and coming to God through him to get that daily cleansing. 1 John says, but if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses, continually cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then he said here, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. You must keep up this continual washing, this relationship with your high priest. So communion and foot washing are closely related. It's also the foot washing not only pictures Christ's continual cleansing work in our life, but he says that we should do the same for one another. And it says, husbands, love your wives, Ephesians 5:25. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself forth that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So we have the cleansing blood of Christ washing our record, keeping our record clean, and we have the cleansing of the water of the word washing our life, our minds, our hearts, our characters, washing us, that we might be not only clean in our record in heaven, but clean in our walk, clean in our thoughts, clean in our performance. Jesus is working to clean us. Now, if he's willing to be a servant, a minister, the word minister means servant, minister in the tabernacle of heaven, ought we not to have the same zeal and desire for one another? To wash one another with the word? To pray for one another, to hold one another accountable, to try and perfect that which is lacking in one another, and be willing to serve, not just command. Jesus didn't just say, wash your feet. He got a towel and went down there and washed their feet. The distance between his preferences and our performance is much farther than the distance between your preferences and your brother or sister's performance. The patience he must exercise while washing you is much greater than the patience you must exercise while washing your brother or sister in the Lord. Jesus said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And how does that fruit come? He said, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. He cleanseth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean, the exact same word as the word purge. Okay? I don't know why they translate them different. They're both the same word. One, they translated purges it. The other one, they translated clean. It's a different verb form, or a different form of the word. Now ye are clean, because you have been purged by what? Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. I have been washing you with the word, and that's so you can bring forth fruit. He said, abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except that abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me he can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, those cleansing, purging words, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. The reason Jesus wants you to be clean and fruitful is not only for you, but for the glorification of his Father. Is this the same motive and reason that motivates our foot washing for one another? Not just, I mean, we should want our brothers and sisters to be spiritually productive and prosperous, but we should also want to see God glorified in their life. If one of you fall or stumble or go astray, it robs God of glory. Everyone who has left here and gone astray and followed error He ceased to be their father if they continue in their rebellion. But he's not glorified in that. Not because it's fun or we enjoy it, but because we want Christ to be glorified in his church. I always like it when I read in Daniel 1:17 there where Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael were set aside. They didn't want to eat the king's meat. They asked to be fed pulse. And after a certain time, they were brought in and checked. And they were in their examinations of their knowledge and everything about them, they said they were 10 times better than all the others that they examined to stand before the king. That brings glory to God. You know what brings glory to God? When your home is 10 times better than the homes out in the world. When your marriage is 10 times better than the marriages out in the world. When your young people are 10 times better. That glorifies the Lord. Do we have a missionary heart? Do we have a desire and a zeal that Living Faith Christian Fellowship, we're all representing the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we have a desire that this is this church body and everything we do be 10 times better? That we might bring glory to our Lord? That means we ought to try and encourage one another. Provoke one another to love and good works. Our washing should have our brother and sister's salvation in view. James 5:19, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Two things are going to happen tonight after we have communion. You're going to have your feet washed and you're going to wash another's feet. This is a picture of a biblical church life. Serving one another. Being willing to have your feet washed and being willing to wash another's feet. It's more embarrassing to have your feet washed than to wash somebody else's feet. Did you come to wash or be washed? Well, you know, I may come to be blessed, but I don't want to be washed. There's those who are in that category. You know, I say, do you come to serve or be served? Well, there's a lot of people that want to be served, but they don't want to be washed. Are you willing to be washed? Okay, well, I'll wash feet, but I only want to wash the feet that I like. I only want to wash clean feet. I don't want to wash any stinky feet. Do we wash feet to discover flaws or dirt or stink in our brother that we can tell others about? Or do we have a loyalty that when we're washing our brother's feet? Washing your brother's feet might be stepping in when he's having a bad day, or him and his wife are having a problem and you step in and help them work it out. Or maybe they're having trouble with their children. You step in and help in a very personal time in their family, or give them counsel financially when they're down. And being in a brotherhood like this, we become vulnerable. And if you're here just so you can find some dirt, so you can tell others about it, then you don't know anything about Christ-like foot washing. Jesus didn't wash their feet just to see if he could find some dirt. Do we wash one another's feet so we can make them feel indebted to us? Or so we can boast about it? Do we wash one another's feet because we are committed to each other's spiritual success and salvation? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am, Jesus said. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. There's a lot that goes into communion with one another and foot washing with one another. I become uncomfortable. It's not a commitment until, I just don't feel excited anymore. My love has waxed cold. That is your problem. Okay? If your love begins to wax cold for Christ, it's not Christ's fault. If your love begins to wax cold to your wife, it's not your wife's fault. If your love begins to wax cold for the church, it's not the church's fault. The distance between Christ's preferences and your performance is much greater than the distance between your performance, your preferences, and your brother or sister's performance. What are we committed to? Are we committed to self-preservation? If so, this foot washing thing can be abused. I've seen people get it for what they can get. Get all they can. Use the church, use the help, use this, and then they leave. Get, and then they go. But if you have the love of Christ in you, you're not going to abuse such a thing. You're going to cherish it. You're going to value it. You're going to have a goal to wash, to serve, to bless, to build up the church, to encourage the brethren. You're going to have a vision and a zeal and a desire that your brothers and sisters in Christ will be 10 times better than anything the world has to offer. And that everyone that looks at your brothers and sisters in Christ will see Jesus. Encourage one another. Be an example of the believer to one another. To do that which we can recommend to every Christian. To be that which we can recommend to every Christian. In other words, you can say, follow me as I also follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You can say, do as I do, and it will be good for you. That's the example. It's not just feed me. There ought to be a zeal and a desire here as a disciple of Jesus Christ to say, if it is to be, it is up to me to make this church reach its potential. Tonight, Brother Jesse is going to come and lead us in communion. And then afterwards, we're going to have foot washing. And my wife will wash the first lady's feet in the back row, and I will wash the first gentleman's feet in the back row, and then when I come back up, I will tap the next person up, tap them on the shoulder, and they will go back. And my wife will do the same with the ladies. After you, the person who I wash their feet, they will wash the next person's feet. And then when they come back up, they'll tap the next person, we'll move from back to front, okay? And then when we get to the end, I'll be sitting over here, and whoever's the last will come and tap me, and then I will go on back, and I'll be the last one to get my feet washed. And we'll work through it from back to front. But Brother Jesse's going to come and lead us in communion. And while we are washing feet, while the foot washing is going on, you all will be singing. And I'm recording this for those who weren't able to be here tonight. So sing good and strong, and let's bring some glory to the Lord if we can tonight. Brother Jesse, if you come ahead, please.
Good evening. Good things to ponder on there. I would like to reemphasize one point that was made there. If Christ is ever living to make intercession for us, we should follow His example, and that should be a daily thing with us as well, that we make intercession for our brothers and sisters. You're having trouble with somebody as far as an attitude towards them, has a wonderful way of, you're few verses from 2 Peter tonight. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained life precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Have we obtained life precious faith with him? If so, then he's speaking to us. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and the Jesus the Lord. How often are we lacking in grace and peace because our knowledge of the Lord is lacking as well? Do you see how that grace and peace come to us? It says, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So if we're ignorant of God and His ways, oftentimes we'll not have the grace that would be so useful in the situation that we're facing.
Right.
We'll not have the peace that we ought to have because of our ignorance of God, because of our lack of understanding. We'll come back to that next verse, but it brought to mind something I just read in Exodus. God sends Moses and Aaron to the children of Israel, bring them out of Egypt. He comes to them and he tells them, and Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people, and the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their afflictions, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. The end of the next chapter. They met Moses, talking about the officers of the children of Israel, and they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh, and they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, and to put a sword in their hand to slay us. Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Grace and peace be multiplied. There was somewhat of a lack of understanding and confidence in God and in how he works here. And it caused considerable grumbling. In fact, they were grumbling about the very grace of God that was coming upon them. He was going to bring them out. And here in the process that God had begun to do that, they're grumbling about it. We do ourselves great harm to be ignorant of God and His ways.
That's right.
According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. There it is again. All things that pertain unto life and godliness comes about through a proper knowledge, a proper understanding of God, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You see what? It seems like the point or the thrust of these promises is to help us be partakers of the divine nature. Do we see that as something that's extremely valuable? There's two camps of people, those who are partakers of the divine nature and those who are partakers of the corruption that is in the world because they're led by lust. Which do we prefer? Partakers of divine nature when you're led by your own lust, you'll be partaker of the corruption that is in the world. God has called us to glory and to virtue. How often does our lack of understanding of God cause us to murmur and complain in the way that God is leading us? A proper knowledge of and understanding of God causes us to recognize and say amen to God's working, be it in ourselves or in others as well. It causes us to be able to recognize the kingdom of God when we see it. Because except the man be born again, he cannot see, or he cannot experience or recognize the kingdom of God. There are many things we can study in life, but do we know that the knowledge of God is the most important thing? Because all other things are but for a time. Whereas the knowledge of God, that's for all eternity. It has the potential to produce the divine nature in us. If we have that knowledge, go beyond simply a head knowledge, but actually become a heart-transforming knowledge, and we become lovers of the truth and not just readers of it and scoffers at it. And here's a list then of things to add to your faith. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, patience, godliness, and godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if those things are not abounding, there's a roadblock there for how much your knowledge of Jesus Christ can grow. You'll be barren and unfruitful in it. So if you're a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, your knowledge has its limits. It'll remain in darkness. But I wanted to stress that the importance of understanding God, kind of getting a grasp, or a heart that beats in tune with Him, so you can recognize His doings, so that we know that if the princes of this world had a knowledge, a proper knowledge of God, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Right.
And yet they thought they had a very good knowledge of God. They were very much in ignorance because their heart was beating out of tune with God. Let our knowledge of God cause our hearts to beat in tune with Him. Well, our order is a little different this evening.
Shall we stand together?
As a little side note, I was blessed to see that Jesus called the evening meal supper. Supper being ended, I didn't take the time to look up what the Bible calls it when it was the earlier in the day meal. That might be interesting to notice as well. And that's up too. You want to be thoroughly biblical here in all things. We can largely focus on more important things. Which tonight, remembering the blood that has been shed for us, the body that has been broken for us, let us also remember the teaching that has been given to us, the instructions, the words of life. For I have received of the Lord, of which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup and he stopped saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, some of those questions that we were asked this evening. Do good food for self-examination. And that's good, because we need to examine ourselves. We're commanded to examine ourselves. And it's a blessing if we can see properly to do that. I'd like to stress the importance of, as we read the Bible, study to find out the heart of God, to understand His workings and His heartbeat, that our heartbeat might be in tune with His.
Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, pray that you would help us in our hearts and our minds to enter into that upper room, to consider the context of that meeting, of all that led up to that meeting, of what that meeting represented, of what would soon transpire after that meeting. Father, I pray that we could expand our hearts, our minds. As we sing tonight, as we wash feet and have our feet washed, Father, I pray that you would help us to catch the air of that primitive faith, those early Christians, the zeal, the spirit, the heart. Help us to understand all that you have going. Help us to see the big picture, Lord. And Father, we pray that you would hasten that return that we so long for, that you have promised. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Someone would call out a selection and lead out.
501.
I'm 514. Somebody help me now.
When on the ocean of love.
What a blessing. The only reason that I would not want to be in a biblical church where I'm accountable to rightly discern the body of Christ, taking communion every week and feeling the pressure of being right with God, of having brothers and sisters concerned about my spiritual state, watching over my soul and washing my feet, sometimes whether I ask for it or not, and coming by with a concern for my soul, a concern with something they see in my home or my life, and wanting to share the Word of God. The only reason I can think of that I would want to not partake in that, would not want to be a part of that, is if I really did not believe God's Word. Because if I really believe God's Word, that's exactly where I want to be. May the Lord help us this next year, week in, week out, day in, day out, watch over one another's soul and life. Be willing to kneel down, wash one another's feet. Be willing to take the Word and wash one another with the Word. To be co-laborers with God in perfecting His bride. May the Lord help us to realize the servant is not greater than his Lord. Anyone would like to share a word of testimony or thought before we close?
Tonight that's here, and may God have mercy and grace on those who could not be here tonight. Strengthen them and encourage them with the encouragement that we have received. I believe the darker the world gets, the more and more God's way proves to be the only thing that makes sense. And if we can see clearer and clearer that if men would believe God's Word, things would work a whole lot better. Men are out there professing themselves to be wise and becoming fools upon fools because they reject the knowledge of God. Let's pray that God will help us to be light and salt this year. Brother Greg, would you close us in prayer, please?
thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of flesh, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. How grateful we are tonight, how much our hearts rejoice that now he's been exalted to his rightful place and given a name that is above every name. We gladly bow before him tonight, Father. We want Jesus to have the preeminent place in each of our lives. So help us to that end. That's why we meet together like this. Not because, Lord, anything new is spoken or put before our minds, but remembrance, reminders, that we might not be dull and slow in our hearts. Again, we thank you for the privilege we had to be here tonight. We pray for our brothers and sisters, each one. Meet their needs, Lord, and bring them into a life that's more and more like Christ. We praise thee, we bless thee, in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.